I think the whole election process has been contentious even before they cast the first ballot. You know, the opposition complained bitterly that the results were foreordained. And so I'm not surprised that they rejected the outcome.
Do they have any recourse? Can they challenge it as all?
Well, the problem that the opposition has is that they are splintered. And consequently, they do not have a common agenda, which will make it more likely that they will succeed. I'm not quite sure, if you ask me, that they are going to succeed.
Professor Oki, looking at the Congo election itself, the president took about 78.6% of Sunday's vote. What is your assessment of this election, especially when the African Union observers describe the election as free and fair?
You will recall that a few weeks ago, the opposition in general levied a lot of accusations against the electoral process, one of which was that the voter registry was overinflated. Secondly, that the level playing field was not there for the other contenders, that it was foreordained. And what also happened was that on the voting day, actually, that the most accounts say that less than 20% of voters turned out to cast their ballot. So in a number of ways, the outcome was predictable. And it also reflects, you know, the overbearing power and the influence of the incumbent.
The AU observers said the election was free and fair. How can the AU make such a judgment when the opposition's views were not taken into consideration?
You see, the problem I have with such judgment, which is not peculiar to the Congo, is the fact that the election was free and fair on the day people were casting their ballot does not tell you what had happened much earlier than the day of the election itself. And so I think it's a very, very narrow basis to make a judgment about the whole electoral process, because some of the fundamental issues which were raised by the opposition and in many other African countries is the fact that by the day you now go to the polls, the election outcome had already been predetermined. And so that I have a problem with the fact that they did not intervene or intercede much earlier to look at some of the structural complaints that were made by the opposition.
Is this the case of some African leaders wanting to cling on to power by free or foul means?
Well, if you recall, in President Obama's speech in Accra, he talked about the big man syndrome and what is prevailing in the continent. You know, the United Nations Economic Commission for Africa just released a 2009 Africa Governance Report. And one of its major findings is this big man syndrome, in which leaders are found in so many other ways to perpetuate themselves in office. And until we address this problem, you will never have people accepting the outcome of election.
So in this case, what can the AU do in order to incorporate some this report that has come from the UNACA about governance and the big man syndrome? Because you have some of these leaders still making decisions in relation to some democratically elected leaders about the future of the continent.
Well, I think this challenge, in my judgment, remains one of the daunting challenges Africa must deal with by themselves, either in the individual basis at a country level or at the sub-regional level and also at the continental level. There are regional protocols that have basically talked about how to conduct free and fair elections, credible elections, legitimate elections. So the instruments are there. The problem is that these instruments are not operationalized. They've not been internalized. So elections remain the biggest challenge, and it also has implications for peace and security in the continent. So it's a daunting challenge, which I think that it will take the collective efforts of African leaders to change their ways and really see elections as a means of rejuvenating the political process. But if it's now become a tool for self-perpetuation, then the dangers are that we will keep on reoccurrence that we see in many African countries. And I think that the fact that President Obama chose to go to Accra was a loud message to most of the African countries, you know. And I think that even the African peer review mechanism has identified election as a major challenge, as a source of conflict that we must need to deal with.